In his memoir, Joys and Sorrows, the great cellist Pablo Casals said he began each morning playing Bach because he thought of it as a benediction on the day. Now, most classical musicians turn to Bach later in their careers and call it a revelation. But cellist Matt Heimovitz has been playing his privately and publicly for years. Matt's latest album is Overtures to Bach, a collection of new works from composers ranging from Philip Glass to Vijay Iyer, all offering their own overtures to and for Bach's six cello suites. So with decades of Bach on bar stages and in early morning benedictions, I wondered if Matt was experiencing a new revelation.
Well, I find every day that there's a revelation with this music. So I have so many musical interests, and I go to so many places with this music. But the Bach is sort of a constant for me. I mean, it's a book that I travel with at all times because it grounds me, but I understand it in different ways, you know, on any given day. And it truly is a lifetime project with these pieces. And I think with these overtures that I've commissioned, I think it sort of brings together various aspects of my artistic life and working with composers and just the idea that there is a, you know, this art form is living and breathing and part of the fabric of our daily life, and that it's not a museum. It's not something that we need to put under glass 300 years ago. It's very much alive today. Mm-hmm. And for me, the revelation of juxtaposing the new music and the old, in this case, the old doesn't sound old anymore. It's every bit as contemporary and modern as anything being written today.
Well, let's talk about some of the composers whom you commissioned, beginning with Philip Glass.
Philip, I've known now for the last 5-6 years, come very close. I started by playing his cello concerto number 2, making the first recording and the first performance, the premiere of that piece. And then Philip put a bunch of music in front of me, and so I got to know a lot of his other music and chair music. This was the first time that I commissioned Philip for a new piece. So I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if it would come the next day or if it would take a few months or whether he'd do it at all. And he was so generous and so humble right away, you know, when I approached him for this overture. And he just he said, of course, Bach's music is so important to me and I'd love to be a part of this. Mm. And he even mentored me through this process because I had never commissioned six composers all at once like this.
Is it too personal to ask how the funding for these commissions was provided?
The funding, yeah, good question. And actually, that's one way he mentored me. Philip said, just make sure, he said, one piece of advice, make sure that everybody gets paid the same. So ooh, that way you can afford me. You know, because very true. You know, it was favored nations for everybody. With the funding, it was interesting because I initially thought I would look for funders and pair them with each composer, you know, and sort of, you know, each composer would dedicate the piece to a patron. And I went along for months, and I wasn't having any success. And finally, there was one patron who was so excited about the project that they gave me a grant for the entire thing. And so I don't know whether they want their name out there or not, so
okay.
I won't mention the name. But no, it was really sort of incredibly generous. And I basically, I wanted to do this project so much, I willed it into existence, and then, you know, then started looking for money to make sure that all these composers got paid. And it's an interesting process, and it's a, you know, full of unknowns. You just don't know what you're going to get when you commission a new work from a composer. With Philip Glass, for example, I mean, so many people have commented that it's unexpected to hear a piece like that from Philip. Like they would never recognize it as Philip Glass. It's so romantic and not really minimalist. So yeah, you just never know what you're gonna get. And I have to say that all six of them on the album are just, they exceed my expectations in terms of what engaging the music of Bach and giving me new challenges to deal with and just standing on their own as you know, great new solo cello works.
Sounds like quite a collaboration. Looking at Du Yeon's contribution, referencing Russian Orthodox prayer, Serbian chant, and Central European gypsy fiddle music. And then you have Vijay Iyer's run, and you get to Charlie Mingus in the end. I mean, this really reflects the scope and the spans of your interest in music, Matt, and not confining yourself to categories. But do they all sound like they were inspired by Bach?
I think each composer, that's one of the things which impresses me so much about each one of these composers. They've really taken the time to study the Bach and to immerse themselves in it. And a lot of the compositional processes they're using, the priorities, the compositional priorities, they go back to Bach. And, you know, some composers more overtly quote the Bach, like Roberto Sierra's La Memoria, you know, he's remembering the Bach before it actually happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you hear these arpeggios from the Prelude of the Fourth Suite being transformed in a kind of Caribbean salsa groove. Vijay Iyer, you know, really taking that, the tuning of the instrument, the low C string, the C major suite, third suite, and amplifying all the overtones of that low C string. So each one, in different ways, sort of gets to the essence of what Bach was doing. And even in Du Yeon, for example, the, you know, Veronica, you know, on the surface, it's you might start off, you know, because it's all these really timbral, very far out sounds that don't sound anything like a cello. And you're sort of wondering, well, how does this relate to Bach? But even in the sort of wildest, strangest sounds that she creates, textures, there's always a sense of hierarchy, a sense of voicing, of you know, certain things being brought out more than others, certain things being brought, put in relief, the same way that Bach would do in his more, you know, sort of limited range of you know, whatever it is, the two octave and a half span that he uses for his works. So it's each one engages Bach in a different way, but sometimes you hear fragments of the Bach, you know, just emerge out of it, and sometimes it'll just lead in to the Bach, you know, in terms of like the David Sanford, you know, he actually tunes the C string down to a B natural, so it's literally a leading tone into the Bach suite.
I know you launched this recording in Berlin, and there are going to be other tour destinations. Wondering where you are taking the other celebrations for the rollout of this CD.
I'm taking the series on tour. I mean, coming up in Utah, in Salt Lake City and Provo, Sarasota, Florida, really across the country. But the launch in Berlin was incredibly exciting. It was the first time for our label, you know, being in business for 15 years, that we actually launched the album in Europe. We always are so North American based. And it was really incredible to see the reaction of the public and the press and everything to these American composers engaging this German composer, you know, the Bach, and how important Bach was and German culture was to these American composers of various backgrounds. And it really felt like, for a moment, you know, the world was really, truly sort of brought together and a smaller world in that moment. It was great.
Matt, congratulations on yet another creative, innovative project. And we look forward to hearing you with Philip Glass here in Atlanta. Thank you so much.
Great. Hope to see you there. Thanks so much.